Do you ever wonder about dreams or deja vu, that feeling on a first date?
Yes, yes. The spark is real.
Maybe about where the aliens are, if they exist.
The universe could be infinite. So where is everybody?
My name is Mike Simpson. My podcast is called I've Got Questions. How do some animals change color? What's the best cure for the hiccups? Do you wash your denim?
I usually wait 4 to 6 months.
Kind of feels like a long time. Search for I've Got Questions on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes on Thursdays.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Another week of football is here. I can't believe we're already in week 5. So let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in a legendary play-by-play man, NFL on CBS. You could also listen to him Monday Night Football on Westwood One, and that is the great Kevin Harlan. Kevin, always great to hear your voice. Thanks for the time. How you been?
Thanks for the kind words, Zach. Great to be on with you. Hope you're doing well. Yeah, we're week 5 already in the NFL season, and that's just moving right along for us.
And let's be real, the season finally got underway on Monday Night Football because we had our first Kevin Harlan call of a streaker this year, and I saw that the guy that was running on the field that got laid out by Bobby Wagner is now somehow filing a police report against Bobby Wagner. How the heck does that make sense?
Well, I think there's been a mention to the players, maybe not even a mention, maybe it's in writing and it's part of their deal where they're not supposed to interact if anyone would run out on the field. He did. And it's going to be kind of a curious case, actually, to see. Now, number one, none of these players know these guys don't have a weapon. These people don't have a weapon or something
Great point.
That could harm the player. And, you know, and the guy was running toward the bench, which, you know, kind of forced me to make the call because he was headed right to the bench. Now, a lot of times we have seen, in fact, like in the last couple of days, for whatever reason, maybe this has spurred it on, people jumping out of the stands in Europe and around the world at soccer matches and going up to a player that they admire on the field and giving that player a hug. And the player has probably looked at this person running at him thinking, uh-oh, you know, what's going on? But then when they can just see it's a fan, they've returned the embrace and they've all ended well. The in the back of the minds, I'm sure, of security people is someday it may not end well. And that has got to be first and foremost in the mind of NFL security. And it's shocking these guys were able to get out there with the people they've got on the ring of the stadium right by the stand, Zach. But, yep, another one came through. And this one had a device. They had the smoke bomb, you know, the pink smoke bomb that was going off. And then he was way late. Now he's going to take that one more step and try to get some money out of it, I guess, for his activism and for the injuries that he incurred. Anyway, yeah, it's too bad this happens, but it has. And hopefully this is the last event like this we'll see this year.
It's just easier when a black cat enters the field is what I'll say.
Well, it is, right, yeah. When you got animals and drunks are pretty harmless, really. But when you've got people that are gluing themselves to the basketball floor, as we saw last year in Minnesota, and you know, going out and just doing some really bizarre things to represent their cause, you seem to think, okay, is there a better way you could get your message across than doing something like this? So, yeah, it's I guess we've always got to be on guard for anything that could happen.
Kevin Harlan here with us. We've seen a lot of sloppy football through the first 4 weeks. Let me start you off with the team that we're talking about that you got to see on Monday Night Football, the LA Rams. Stafford doesn't look great. His offensive line looks to have a whole lot of problems. What was your read on the Rams?
Well, you know, Stafford came into camp, Zach, with the bad elbow. He had some tendonitis and some issues. He had a procedure on the arm, on shoulder, on the elbow this past offseason. I'm not sure where it stands. His numbers are big. He's always been kind of turnover prone, and that has not changed this year. They've got a lot of turnovers. In fact, he threw a gigantic pick six the other night in Santa Clara against the San Francisco 49ers. So that seems to be an issue. Probably more at the heart of it is the offensive line. They've only got one guy left on the line from last year's Super Bowl starting five. And they've had to mix and match players on there. A couple are out for the season. They've just had a myriad of issues on that line with injuries, and that has been a significant problem. They're trying to get their running backs up to speed. You know, they were both kind of injured in camp. They had soft tissue injuries. and Akers and Henderson both. And we know that Akers missed a lot of last year with an injury that he had in camp to his Achilles. So a quarterback's best friend is a running game. And right now the Rams just don't have that. And again, it goes back to the line. There's not much room to roam because the line is not opening up much inside. And then defensively, I still think they're trying to figure out, without Von Miller, how do they operate? They've had some injuries in the back end and the secondary. So, and then above all of that is just, how does a team respond to being a defending champion? When you're the biggest game on everybody's schedule the following year, how do you handle that? And then add to that, that they're, they've lost seven straight regular season games to the 49ers. San Francisco's got their number. So it was a lot of things that kind of hit them. And they showed not all that well on Monday night. They're hoping to bounce back here this weekend. I believe they take on a team from Dallas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're right on that.
And we're waiting to see if Dak is going to be there. I'm guessing they're still going to go with Cooper Rush, but I know that Dak Prescott is getting close to a return with the Cowboys.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be Cooper Rush for this week. That's what Jerry Jones said in one of his 9,000 interviews that he does leading up to a game. Kevin Harlan here with us. So you gave me your read on the Rams, the team they go up against. The 49ers, that team is an even bigger enigma. Last week, they looked like they set offensive football back 2,000 years up against the Broncos, and then they bounced back against the Rams. I can't get a feel on San Francisco this year.
Well, in that game again, that Sunday night game against the Broncos, Denver's defense is phenomenal. They're great. And almost as good as San Francisco's, maybe the equal of the 49ers. Those are two great teams defensively, and so an 11-10 game, I could kind of understand. Also, in that game, Garoppolo came in and said afterwards that he's got arm fatigue. Remember, he did not have any offseason because he had shoulder surgery. He had no training camp because it was all based on Trey Lance, and then he was thrown in there. So he's really kind of going through preseason-like conditioning right now, which is weird to think, more than a month into the year, but that's kind of where he is. And he looked pretty good. Listen, his record as a starting quarterback is incredible. It's really, really good. And especially against the Rams, he's never lost to him. I think he's 6-0 against the Rams himself. So I think offensively they're only going to get better. They're loaded. They've had offensive issues too with line injuries, and they're still kind of working their way through. Like Trent Williams, the left tackle, he's out now for a month to 2 months with an injury. So they're going to kind of have to mix and match and use a patchwork offensive line. And on defense, they were without two starters, yet they looked dynamite against the Rams the other night. That defense is great. Listen, San Francisco is one of those teams to really keep an eye on. Everybody in that division is 2-2. It'll be a lot different a month from now. My prediction is San Francisco is only going to get better. They're without Elijah Mitchell. They're putting in Jeff Wilson as a running back. But Wilson has been fine. And Kittle just came back. Last Monday, Zach was only his second game back from injury and second game of the season as well. So give some breathing space to the Niners. I really like that team. They are every bit a contending team in the NFC.
Wow. You think contending for a Super Bowl even?
Contending to get to where they were last year.
Gotcha.
They're definitely playoff. And last year they made the NFC Championship and led the Rams in the fourth quarter in L.A. after beating them twice in the regular season and had every reason to believe that they could have beaten them. And then L.A. got hot at the end of the game, and as Stafford has done, and they pulled one out. But San Francisco, I think, is a terrific team. The quarterback thing is a little bit weird because of how it's been structured by the Niners' own doing. But when that gets settled, and Lance isn't going to come back probably until November, I don't know that he'll even play the rest of the year. And that's a problem because, I think Garoppolo feels he's got a lot to prove. He's playing for another contract, maybe for another team. Lance has not played a lot of football. He's been injured more than he's been on the field. That's a problem. So they're lucky they had Garoppolo in the corner to bring on in, and they kind of pick up where they left off last year. Garoppolo will only get better as he stays healthy, only get better as the season goes. But I really like the 49ers.
Talking to Kevin Harlan right now, you also got to see last week Denver and Las Vegas. I know Denver plays tonight as they're hosting the Colts. That offense has a lot of problems with Hackett and Wilson. How concerned should Broncos fans be? Because their record is 2-2 after the first four games, but it seems like they're a worse football team than what their record indicates.
Well, they just lost their running back, Javonte Williams. It was kind of, even though he and Melvin Gordon had the same number of carries, basically, Williams in that game, he came out as kind of the lead guy and was carrying the ball most of the time, and then he blew a knee, and so he's out for the season. I think they just signed Latavius Murray. I think he got him off of somebody's practice squad. And so now Gordon becomes the guy. But Gordon has fumbled four times, once inside the five at the goal line, and the other day in Vegas he fumbled, and they returned it 69 the other way. So he's got an issue, and that's a concern. And again, Russ needs a running game to be a good quarterback. I've always felt that about him. He was at his best in Seattle when he had good running backs back there, including Marshawn Lynch. That's when Russ was at his best. And that's when the offense was at its best because of his play action, his ability to run, the way he uses running backs, the way he reads the defense to use that running game and change it at the line. He's just very adept at that. He's got great receivers. Their tight end situation so-so, and I like the line, especially the left side. And like I said before, as you kind of talked about, defensively, Denver's terrific. So they're a team to keep an eye. I think they're more than anything just trying to kind of smooth things out. You mentioned the communication issues, the game management issues. They've hired a longtime 18-year assistant, Jerry Rosberg. He is up out of retirement in the press box talking with Hackett. And the other day, when we were in Vegas calling that game, you could see that Hackett was giving full whiff of doing whatever he wanted to do, as much leeway as he wanted, in managing the game from the press box. When to take timeouts, when not to, when to accept penalties, when to decline, everything. So I think that is now in the rearview mirror. I think they've figured that out. Hackett was smart to admit it. Hackett was smart to hire this guy, along with George Payton, their brand new GM from last year, but he's relatively new, and he's the one who pulled off the Wilson trade with Seattle. So I think they've checked that box. I'd keep my eye on Denver as well. Raiders are a team that's dealing with a bunch of line problems, where all these teams have offensive line issues, and that really is causing it. Then that's trickling down to problems with time for the quarterback, getting the running game unlatched. But last week, the Raiders did get Josh Jacobs off and running. He looked the best he's looked, I think, in a couple of years. He looked fabulous. So the Raiders, I don't think overall they're as strong as Denver. I can't tell you what I think about the Chargers and the Chiefs, even though they've lost a game. I still think Kansas City might be the class of the AFC, certainly of that good division. Them and Buffalo probably right at the top in the AFC, certainly.
Yeah, it seems like it's Buffalo and then also Kansas City and then everyone else we're still trying to figure out in the AFC. Wrapping up with Kevin Harlan. So this weekend on CBS, you will have the Jets and the Dolphins. The biggest storyline going into this game is Tua won't be playing and what happened the last 2 weeks. How will you guys handle it on Sunday?
Well, I think it's going to speak for itself. I think the Players Association and the NFL are on the same page. I don't think there's the media, as they always do, has made this to be a confrontation. There's no confrontation. The health of these players, especially concussion, where the NFL has spent tens of millions of dollars in helmet development, in putting layers of caution on the sideline and in the press box to evaluate players. The one area that was a little bit murky was motor skill. I think they're all in agreement. What is the next step? They knew this was a work in progress. They don't have all the answers. Both sides have admitted it. They only want the safety of the players. I think they have blown this into a position it's adversarial, and I don't sense that who I've talked to at all. I think they're all going for the same goal, and I think the approach is the same. I just think there was probably, whether it was a lapse or the gray area took effect very optically in that game that we did with Buffalo and Miami with a staggering Tagovailoa, that it brought this particular issue more to a head, that it needed more definition. And I think they're going to get definition, and I think it's going to be an enhancement, a much better way to approach it from this point on, that you would never see a player who optically looks like he's woozy on rubber legs, is struggling, finding out where he is, and that may just the optics alone, without even the testing, but just what we're seeing on TV and with their own eyes at the game, would say he's done for the day. Like, it's not going to happen. Now, in retrospect, out of the Buffalo game, it was probably more back spasms and ankle than it was the hit. But the optics told you it probably could have been something different with the motor skills. That will all be addressed now, I think, sooner than later by the Players Association and the league. And they're lucky because they've got one of the best backups they could possibly want in Teddy Bridgewater. So I think the story is going to handle itself. I think that Bridgewater will be an incredible bridge between what Tua was, where the offense was headed, and what Bridgewater can bring. I don't know if his long ball is as good as Tagovailoa, but I know that all the things that Tua did, and then you get the veteran leadership of a Bridgewater who is a class act. We talked to him, in fact, this afternoon. He is a wonderful person, let alone football player. I think the Dolphins are full steam ahead, and they feel like they are what their record says they are, 3-1, and they're gonna take it in, I think, against a very, very much improved New York Jet ball club.
You can watch him each and every Sunday, NFL on CBS. Of course, this weekend he has that Dolphins-Jets game, and then you could catch him each and every Monday night on Westwood One. He is the legendary Kevin Harlan. Kevin, always appreciate when you carve out some time for us. Thank you.
Love listening to you, Zach, and like it better when we visit. Thank you. Call again. Great to be on with you. Take care.
That's very kind. The great Kevin Harlan with us. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Real quickly, Colts have the ball. First and 10 right out of the gate. First play from line of scrimmage at the 25-yard line. And, ooh, not a good start. A little swing pass on Aim Hines. Drop. And Hickey just took his glasses off, and he's taking part of the glasses and stabbing himself in the eye. Be careful there. I need your eyes to be okay.
About.
I need you
it's
to be able
easy
to see
swing
the buttons.
Pass. Catch the ball.
I need two things to happen tonight. Or just one of two. But if we get both, that would then make me more money. Michael Pittman, anytime touchdown. Mo'Ali Cox, anytime touchdown. Who's winning this game tonight? You're taking the Colts, right? Because you're a Colts homer?
20-13. Colts shocked the world tonight because shocked no other line. Reason time other out, than time everyone's time on out. The Broncos.
Timeout. Shocked the world. What do you mean shocked
I haven't seen one person
world.
Pick the Colts today.
Stop.
Shot the team is good.
You're going up against a team that's 2-2 that feels like they're 0-4. Pipe down with shock the world. You should be a boxing promoter. That's what you should be. Because you just hyped up the Broncos like they're Muhammad Ali.
This would be a big-time upset. I mean, you look nationally, everyone's talking Broncos this, Broncos that, easy win.
Shut up. No a one's, big no time on upset.
No one's on the Colts.
With that being said, I will take the Broncos to win this game tonight. I don't feel great about it, but I will give the slight edge to the Denver Broncos. Who do you think Peyton Manning's rooting for? I saw he was at the game. Before the game, he was taking some time to talk to Frank Reich. Maybe give him a few pointers on how to coach.
Is Frank asking him, hey, Peyton, help me out here?
Uh-oh, wow. Oh, that's not good. You're already without Jonathan Taylor. Nyheim Hines just went down. And he tried to stand up, and right away, there's four people around him trying to help him now. Oh, he was real wobbly. That was scary. But anyway, like, I know it's tough. Well, let's just see the hit here. Oh, you got a little helmet to helmet there while he was spinning around. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's scary. Yeah, he oh, my God, his legs went. He could not walk. I'd be
no. He's done.
You would think so. Now, would they implement it from the NFLPA? Is that already implemented?
Yes.
Okay.
This the
That's the definition of what they implemented.
Exactly what they said.
That Tua up against the Bills trying to stand up. Even
stumble,
worse.
Stumble, wobble. And like I said, he was getting Tua was by himself when he stumbled.
Yeah.
There was at least one or two guys already like kind of helping him before he even stumbled the first time. Very scary.
Now quickly just moving away for that to go back to what I said before that, and not the best transition in the world. Who do you think Peyton Manning's rooting for tonight?
He's rooting for the Colts.
No, he's not.
Deep down,
he's rooting for the Colts. You know he's rooting for the Broncos.
I don't think so. People want to.
You don't want to think that.
Blow up you his don't Broncos think that. Love because he loves the city of Denver. Congratulations.
You don't want to think that.
Peyton Manning knows where his hay was made. He knows where his heart is.
Yeah, with the second championship that he won in Denver.
With the team that basically he helped save.
Okay. If that's how you want to sleep at night and that makes it easier for you to sleep at night, I will give you
that. You don't care about Zach? Care about a win tonight. Peyton can root for whoever he wants.
As long
as the Colts leave Denver, I'm happy.
Well, stop trying to suck up to people that don't love you. Peyton Manning doesn't love you anymore.
Okay. That's
just the truth.
Not the case.
It is. You have no valid retort. He hates.
There's
he
no reason
hates
to think
the Colts
that.
Now.
He's upset with the way it ended.
Where did he find out about his Hall of Fame?
He lives in Denver.
Where did he find out about it? In Denver.
He lives in Denver.
On the field at Mile High, and all the highlights were Denver highlights. Well, no highlights of the Colts.
I mean, that's propaganda.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Coming on back.
Do you ever wonder about dreams or deja vu, that feeling on a first date?
Yes, yes. The spark is real.
Maybe about where the aliens are, if they exist.
The universe could be infinite. So where is everybody?
My name is Mike Simpson. My podcast is called I've Got Questions. How do some animals change color? What's the best cure for the hiccups? Do you wash your denim?
I usually wait 4 to 6 months.
Kind of feels like a long time. Search for I've Got Questions on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes on Thursdays.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So one point of clarification. So this was earlier in the week. NFLPA and NFL soon are expected to agree to new protocols in which any time any player demonstrates any instability, he's not allowed to return to the game. The rule could go into effect as early as week 5. So that was on October 1st. From Adam Schefter. Now, Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network just tweeted this out as Nyheim Hines did leave the game, and he was very wobbly, could not walk, had to get held up by 4 people, and then eventually was able to walk off with people around him. He said the new NFL, NFLPA protocols have not been finalized, but the message in the joint statement last week regarding gross motor instability was clear. And then Mike Garofalo says Nyheim Hines won't be back tonight. Just hope he's okay. I did see that he was questionable to return, was the official designation already by the Indianapolis Colts. So we'll see what happens there as he's now heading back to the locker room for a concussion test after exhibiting gross motor instability on the field. That is from Ian Rappaport. So I would be, Ryan, shocked if Nyheim Hines does return to the game. Now, if he can't clear concussion protocol, there's no chance he returns. But with this new rule kind of pending, I guess there's an opportunity for him to return. But because of optics, especially what happened with the Bills-Dolphins game, when we all watch the Bills-Dolphins game and go, oh, Tua's out for the game, and then somehow he finds a way back into the game in the second half, with how fresh that is, I would think Roger Goodell, I don't know, I don't think he's at the game. I don't know if he is or isn't. Is already on the phone with Jim Irsay saying, yes, Nyheim Hines is not coming back to this game, especially with how he just walked off the field like that, right?
Like you said, the keyword optics. There is zero chance to come back. I don't, maybe he could be cleared. Maybe it's another 2-0 back situation. Even if that's the case, there's no way he's going to be allowed back in.
Hold on. You say the 2-0 back situation. Does anyone still buy that was a back injury? I'm not saying they didn't have a bad back, but when you are getting evaluated for a concussion and you were cleared by the independent doctor and the team doctor, either he passed the test and the test isn't sufficient enough, or the doctors messed up the test and their evaluation in the test. I still think that was a concussion. Now, I'm not a doctor.
I don't know how easy it is to pass the concussion test. And you've had players say it's not that hard to pass a concussion test. And some of them knew they had a concussion and still passed it and got back in the game. Who was it? Andrew Whitworth said that on Amazon Prime after the Thursday night game. But I'm not saying Tua's back didn't hurt, but that looked like a concussion to me, going back to that Bills-Dolphins game.
And considering the doctor got fired, I'm going to guess that, yeah, he probably did not do the right protocol. And like you said, it probably was not a back injury, but even in the 1% of 1% chance, Nyheim Hines somehow had a back spasm. That's why he, you know, stumbled. He's not going to, there's no, you just can't, after seeing that on national TV, you can't do it after what the last week and a half of discussion's been like. There's no way.
Also, totally different conversation here, but revolving this game as well. I don't think anyone brought this up leading up to it. I just saw a video of where it was before the game as Denver's up 3-0 against the Indianapolis Colts as the Colts are driving already on Denver's side of the field. Richard Sherman's on Amazon Prime broadcast. Richard Sherman, who has pretty much been rooting against Russell Wilson. I think that's a fair thing to say, especially with some of the tweets that he sent out during that Seattle Seahawks-Denver Broncos game. Richard Sherman had a conversation with Russell Wilson before the game. And they looked like they were chatting it up, having a good time, and they were like two old pals reunited once again. I just saw this video from Barstool Sports. Is Richard Sherman one of those guys in the media that he used to probably always attack as maybe someone that is real tough behind the keyboard, a keyboard warrior, and then tough behind the microphone, but then when he sees Russ, he acts like he's Russell Wilson's best friend. That's what it looked like to me from the excerpt that I saw, the 6-7 second clip that I saw.
I've not seen the clip, so I hope it's not the case. What I will say is this. I would not be surprised, or I would think actually this is the case. Russell Wilson seems very passive-aggressive. I think if Richard Sherman came over there, I could see Russ being very welcoming, very warm, and almost pretending like he didn't hear everything Richard Sherman was saying and kind of the glee he was taking in that week one loss to the Seahawks.
Now, I did not see this in the video. And all it is, it's literally 5 seconds. Russell Wilson, it looks as if it's because of the sun that's setting in Denver. He's glowing. And when he looks at Richard Sherman, it's almost as if Russell Wilson's on a stage and it's one of those moments. That is how glowing one Russell Wilson is in the short excerpt between these two. Could Russ maybe have some ill intentions here with this new partnership with Subway, giving him a little Subway sandwich and I don't know, maybe put in something that's going to upset Richard Sherman's stomach in that Subway sandwich. Get a little revenge that way. Upset stomach, indigestion, diarrhea for Richard Sherman tonight when he's on the post-game show because Russ gave him one of those Subway sandwiches.
I could see that much more likely than Russ confronting him and trying to get in his face and say, what is wrong with you, et cetera.
Yeah. Colts had the punt, by the way. Man, your offense not looking good. And you know what Ack just said? Again. Who are you, Herb Brooks all of a sudden? I hear Ack out of nowhere. I go, Colts had to punt. And Ack mumbles, again. Hickey, how you doing over there? You good?
I'm actually doing good so far. Reshuffled line.
It's only 3-0.
Little life. Let's go.
At least you're not down 14-0 right out of the gate.
We're 7 minutes into the game.
Down 3-0.
What do you want to do? Burn the TVs? Turn them off?
Yeah, your season on life support. I would like you to stop being so optimistic and stop being a sucker for this team and keep on saying they're going to win, they're a good team, blah, 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 and show some anger. Break something in this studio. You know, make me go to Spike tomorrow and say, hey, we got an issue. Hickey broke something in the studio. He had a little rage moment. Yeah, I used to have, when I was in Philadelphia, the Flyers for one season, they had this rage cage where they let fans just go into a room in the stadium and break things. You would pay to just break things and get all your rage out. Maybe to get those numbers up on the podcast, which I'm sure is doing great, and the ratings are probably enormous anyway because it's a Hot Take Hickey podcast, maybe we get a live stream of a rage cage of Hickey during a Colts game. And you're just throwing things around, breaking things in the studio, baseball bat getting taken to the board. Maybe that's what we need you to do, Hot Take Hickey. Be good for the podcast. Be good for the pod.
I will get very upset. Last week, I was very close to throwing things in my apartment.
How upset were you actually, though? You lost, and now you think that they're going to win tonight.
So, like, it's the opponent.
And you still think they're a good team.
They beat themselves, which is even more, which gets even more mad.
When do you put the blame that they're just not a good team and that the other teams are better than them?
When they start playing good games and get beat.
You tied to the Texans. You didn't even get off the bus against the Jaguars.
They didn't. I give all the credit to the world for the Jaguars.
Tennessee, you were down 14-0. You won't give Tennessee an ounce of credit for last week. Derrick Henry ran three like a hot knife through butter.
In the first half.
So? What is it? Not 60 minutes?
No, it is, but that's what I'm saying. Colts show up in the first half.
How you stretch the goalposts and just extend the goalposts for the Colts, it's laughable.
I think I'm very fair.
No, you're not. You said they were going to win the division last year, and Tennessee sucks. They're not a good team. Tennessee's never a good football team to you.
And I got that wrong. I admit I got it wrong. What do you want me to say? They should have made the playoffs last year. They didn't. This year,
should.
I mean, everyone is on the Colts bandwagon, not just me. Should have. I mean, not that that means anything in terms of being them a great team. No one said this is a contending team. They're an AFC South division winning kind of team. Take that for what you will. That's what they are.
They're the tallest you-know-what. That's what they're trying to be this year. Everyone's the AFC South is the tallest you-know-what.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I've never said that. All I'm trying to do is just get to the playoffs. That's all I want to do.
Why do you want to go to the playoffs and get blown out by 40 in the wild card round, still not have a franchise quarterback, and still have that bozo of a head coach on the sideline? You should want a new coach and a new quarterback. That's what you should want.
Well, I think the Colts will get the quarterback.
Yeah, be in the top 10. Don't have to trade up all future assets. Just be bad this year and draft a quarterback in the top 10 and get a competent NFL head coach. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. When we return, Kevin Harlan believes that the 49ers are a dangerous team and that they're a contender. We'll circle back on that when we return.
Do you ever wonder about dreams or deja vu, that feeling on a first date?
Yes, yes. The spark is real.
Maybe about where the aliens are, if they exist.
The universe could be infinite. So where is everybody?
My name is Mike Simpson. My podcast is called I've Got Questions. How do some animals change color? What's the best cure for the hiccups? Do you wash your denim?
I usually wait 4 to 6 months.
Kind of feels like a long time. Search for I've Got Questions on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes on Thursdays.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Kevin Harlan joined us to kick off the hour, and he said that the 49ers are a team that you got to keep an eye on, and he thinks they're a contending team in the NFC. You think that's a fair statement, hot take, Kiki? When you look at the play of the 49ers through the first 4 weeks, it's been up and down. At first, it was okay. Trey Lance is going to be their guy. Then Trey Lance gets hurt. They lose a game to Chicago. That game was in a monsoon in the Windy City. Then you see week two, they beat Seattle. You get the injury to Trey Lance. Jimmy G comes off the bench. They win the game, and they do so going away by 20 points. Then in week three, Jimmy G forgot to play the quarterback position. Defense played well, but they lose 10-11. And then a team that Jimmy G, I believe, is 7-0 in the regular season up against the Rams. They dominate the Rams, and it was 24-9 in that contest where the defense played great once again. Deebo Samuel broke like 9,000 tackles, told Jalen Ramsey to sit down, and Jimmy G was efficient, was the best way to say it. But Trent Williams is going to be out for several weeks. Is that fair to, with the up and down play, to call the Niners a contending team in the NFC?
Right now, no, I'll not go there. Like you said, inconsistent up and down. I mean, we just saw him a week ago score 10 points against the Broncos and just look awful on offense. The tricky part here is they looked really good on Monday Night Football. Everyone was watching, but they always play good against the Rams. No matter if this team wins 3 games or 13 games, it's one of those things. The 49ers own the Rams. Let's see how they look 5 weeks from now. But that's when I, you know, halfway through the year, if this team is beating some better teams outside the Rams.
Let's not even go then.
Let's have a conversation.
Let's say they look Sunday. That's a team in Carolina you should smack. Carolina's good defense. That's about it. And that defense has been inconsistent. They only show up for 30 minutes. But offensively, Baker Mayfield looks horrible right now. So that should be a team in the Panthers this weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina, that you win. But would anyone be surprised if the 49ers lose to the Panthers this weekend? And I don't even think the Panthers are a good team, but I wouldn't be surprised because it would fit very much into their season of don't have a pulse up against Denver offensively, then show a ton of life and dominate the Rams, and then you lose to the Panthers. Like, if I had to make a play on that game, I would lay the points with the 49ers, but I wouldn't feel good about it. I would not put a big bet on that game if I had to.
But even to your point, shouldn't it just be more than a win? Like, shouldn't they handle this game where it's not even in doubt, let's say midway through the third quarter or going to the fourth quarter? Like, this should be a win where they breeze through.
Their next two games, Carolina and Atlanta. I know Atlanta's been better than what people thought. They have two wins. No Cordarrelle Patterson, too. Because he's on IR designated return, so he's at a minimum 4 weeks. Kyle Pitts not going to play this week most likely, or he's not trending that direction and playing this week. We'll see if he's able to play next week. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, there are no excuses here. If the 49ers don't win these next two games, they're concerning. But I will say this. I do agree a little bit with Kevin Harlan. Now, to be fair, when I did follow up, I said, do you think they'll get to a Super Bowl? And he goes, I could just see them being contending into a spot where they're in last year, where they could have a lead in a fourth quarter of an NFC title game. So then he thinks they can get to a Super Bowl. Here's why, even though I don't love this San Francisco team, why you got to throw them into the contending conversation. They're probably a top five team in the NFC. Even with all their problems. So if you're a top five team in the NFC, you're in that hopper of contending teams. Eagles, no doubt about a contending team. Packers, contending team. Bucks, still a contending team. And those teams have warts. Other than Philly right now, Green Bay does not look like they're 3-1, and they are. Tampa's 2-2. So then, if you tell me the Rams, the Packers, the Bucks, and the Eagles are like contending teams, well, 49ers just blew the doors off the Rams. Cowboys have been better than what we expected, especially with the Cooper Rush injury. I'm not ready to say that Dallas is going to Super Bowl, though. And Minnesota's 3-1, but Minnesota's kind of been streaky. They needed a field goal to miss from 61 yards out in a game where the Saints did not have Jameis Winston, did not have Alvin Kamara, did not have Michael Thomas, just to win the game 28-25. So because the pool isn't deep in the NFC, that's why the 49ers will have a shot. Because remember last year? There were stretches last year where they looked like they were going to miss the playoffs and Kyle Shanahan would be in danger of losing his job. Then they have a lead in the fourth quarter of an NFC title game. So if you want to give the benefit of a doubt to a team, even though I don't love Jimmy Garoppolo, even though it concerns me Trent Williams isn't there, and I don't like their offense, with what they've done the last 2, 3, 4 years, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. When I pit them up against teams like Dallas, Minnesota, those Arizona even, 49ers, right? They get the benefit of the doubt.
And their roster's legit. Like I like their roster a lot. I know they're a little bit banged up right now.
Very good roster to me.
Especially when you're looking in an NFC, like you're looking around.
I don't call it great right now because it's tough for me to call that roster great with the quarterback play being questionable.
Well, it's not the quarterback, obviously. That's a big question. But you look around, like the Eagles have a loaded roster. Okay, they're probably ahead, but the Buccaneers are banged up, especially on the offensive line. The Rams right now don't have an offensive line whatsoever. No. And no receiving core outside or running game outside of Cooper Kupp.
They may call me Mraz, McMonagle, and anyone else that's large that walks around here to play offensive line.
So it's like you look around really quickly. Outside of the Eagles, maybe the Packers, There's not, like, the NFC, there's not many teams, like, if you take the quarterback out of it, two roster spots 2 through 52, there's not many teams that are better than the 49ers.
It's kind of crazy how the Eagles are the best team in the in this conference right now, and it's not even close. It's not right now. Doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl. But right now, they have the best roster in the NFC. And there's not a weakness on Philadelphia. Name me a weakness on Philadelphia. You can't. Miles Sanders playing well this year. You got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Dallas Goedert is a really damn good tight end. You have maybe the best offensive line in football. You have a quarterback that's shown you bare minimum, he's a very good quarterback. Defensive line, there's dogs all over the place. Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick. Secondary, Darius Slay. James Bradbury. I have to pause there. Every time I say James Bradbury now, I want to go Merrill Reese and call him James Blackberry. And also, I heard Mraz say this, and I do the same thing. Now, Kirk Herbstreit, because Jack Stern said Kurt Herbstreit, I want to call him Kurt Herbstreit too. But this Eagles team, as long as they stay healthy, there's not a blemish. It doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl, but there's not a blemish on this roster right now. Only thing I can give you, Jake Elliott's hurt. So you have the kicker from Texas, Cameron Dicker. Yeah, he's now the kicker this week for the Birds. Gus Johnson, shout out.
Do you ever wonder about dreams or deja vu, that feeling on a first date?
Yes, yes, the spark is real.
Maybe about where the aliens are, if they exist.
The universe could be infinite. So where is everybody?
My name is Mike Simpson. My podcast is called I've Got Questions. How do some animals change color? What's the best cure for the hiccups? Do you wash your denim?
I usually wait 4 to 6 months.
Kind of feels like a long time. Search for I've Got Questions on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes on Thursdays.